Good morning. This morning we are going to read Psalm 1, the first psalm which we all are familiar and even some of you memorized already. And let us read God's word, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But in his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are the truth, and through your Son, you reveal your truth to us. And through your Spirit, you teach us. Heavenly Father, we confess that we are poor and we are needy. Even worse, we are sinful. In our own mind and strength, we could not understand your word. So, Lord, we ask you to give us your grace and blessing. We trust that you are a good God, and in your goodness, may we hear your word. Go with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our life, we have so many blessings from God, and one of the blessings we are enjoying is growth. And when you hear the term growth, then you might say, think that's a your past, you are not growing anymore. And I know, but bear with me shortly. The reason why growth is one of God's blessings is that, as we heard, growth, God is the only cause who grows. And I, every morning, have seen this reality from my daughter, as you know. I'm not the one who make my daughter's heart beat every moment, every second. I'm not the one who maintain her breath, every breath. But God is the one who preserves her life. And on top of that, God is the one who grows, so make her hair long and make her height taller. So with this reality of God's blessing in our growth, we can apply this truth to our spiritual life also. So from this Psalm 1, we want to see the Christian's blessed life of spiritual life. And as you know, the Psalms are the collection of poetry. So that means Psalm 1 has its own flow. So from verse 1 to 3, the Psalm is going up. And from verse 4, it's going down. And 5 and 6, there is a conclusion. So I think it is a natural thing to divide the psalm from verse 1 to 3 and then 4 to 6. So from verse 1 to 3, we are going to see who is the blessed. And from verse 4 to 6, why is he blessed? So let's jump into first three verses. Who is the blessed? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. And as you see, the psalmist is describing blessed man in a negative description. And there are three kinds of people, three descriptions: the wicked, sinners, and scoffers. But in fact, they are one category of people who are contrary to the blessed. So psalmist is trying to make a comparison between the blessed and who are not blessed. Then let's look at each verse, each verb, and see the development in verse 1. There is a verb, walks, and then stands and sits. Can you see the development? Walks kind of active, and sit or stand and kind of still, and sit is more passive. Also look at the noun there. In the counsel, thinking in the way, the pattern of life or action, and in the seat, the belonging or dwelling place, your identity. So in other words, those who think wickedly and those who live in a sinful pattern of life and those who are despising God's word and hang out with those people are not the blessed men. But in this psalm, I think it is important to think about the term, the scoffers, at the end. The scoffers are like this kind of people, like I'm thinking about Malachi chapter 1 and verse 2. When the Lord says, I love you, I have loved you. And then the scoffers answers, how as you have loved me? Or if we go to Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. So the scoffers are the God hater, and they hate God's word. So those who are not blessed are the people that who never take attention, have attention to God's word, and who have never lived according to the God's word. When God says, and God reveals himself through his word, they despise God's word. Now, we move to verse 2. So if we put upside down of the picture in verse 1, now we can see verse 2. But his delight, the delight of the blessed, is in the law of the Lord. So here the term, the law, means instruction. So the instruction of the Lord, we could read it is like God's word. So the blessed is the one who takes delight in and from God's word. That's why, and on his law, the blessed, he meditates day and night. Because he loves God, and he loves to listen to God's word. That's why naturally he reads and meditates and thinks and dwell on God's word day and night. For the blessed, knowing God is a joyful thing. And now we go to verse 3. There is a greater picture of the blessed man. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Can you see the picture of the fullness of life, prosperity, stability, and strength? Why? Because the blessed man is drinking the living water, God's word. And then the God's word raise him up and make him strong, make him prosperous. So for him, like Deuteronomy 8, man does not live by bread alone, but every word comes out of the mouth of the Lord. This is the description to the blessed man. So this morning, my first question for you is very simple. Are you growing in the word of God like this man? Or when you read and see the description of the blessed man, do you have some familiarity with him? Is spiritual growth important? Yes, it is important. Why? Because growth is a sign of life. Thinking about the tree. You have a tree, you planted a tree, and you give water and get sunshine enough. But if the tree is not growing, then what do you think? Well, what happened? Is it dead? Or is there life? So when you look back your life and your spiritual life, if you think you are not growing, then you have to ask a serious question. Do I have life from God and His Word? Maybe my statement make you feel offended, and then you may push back that, but I believe that the key of salvation is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, right? But is spiritual growth still important? Yes, it is. And yes, you are right. The essence of your salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. But if Christ saved you, Christ will nurture you. If you are saved by Christ, by the same Christ, you are going to grow up. Isn't it what we read in 2 Peter a few minutes ago? Chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verse 5 to 8. For this very reason, what reason? The reason that you are saved. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And listen, for if these qualities, these fruits are yours and are increasing, growing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you are saved by Christ, like these blessed men, you are going to be prosperous and never wither. So is spiritual growth important? Yes, it is important, because we cannot separate our spiritual growth from our salvation. Now, then how to grow? That's a good question. And I will give you four things about how to grow. And first two things is more about principle, and the last two things is more about practical application. The first thing is this: trust God's promise. From someone, and like 2 Peter 1, God promised that He's going to grow you up. And even Peter said that, make every effort to supplement your faith, right? He starts with faith and then talk about growth later. So do you trust and believe that God is going to grow you up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? And second, if you trust that promise, then live and act as you believe. Like James says, faith without deed is dead, right? If you trust God's promise that He's going to grow you up, then confidently act and read God's word and pray that, Lord, grow me up. I want to know You more. Like the blessed man, I want to take delight from Your word. Change me. Make me like God's word. And thirdly, so I shortly mentioned about reading God's word. But I know lots of people have a struggle to read the Bible, because the Bible is often very difficult to understand, right? And that's true, because if you understand the Bible well, then you have to understand about the language, like old ancient language and the historical background and so on. But you know what? That's why in God's wisdom, He prepared ministers for you, so that may you grow up. Like later, go Ephesians 4 and read and see what is the main thing, main aim of the gospel ministry. One of the main thing is to nurture you and to make you mature in Jesus Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's their job. So third thing is this: use the ministry of the church fully. God prepared everything through the ministers and use them and bug your pastor. And also, come to like Sunday school and Wednesday Bible study. Use it fully. Do you know that your church every Wednesday here, Devinger Road, is praying for your spiritual growth every week? Wednesday night when we pray, every week we pray that may we grow up in the knowledge of Christ. Let us grow up together. Let us pray together and study together. In doing so, may we take delight in our Savior. And fourthly, keep your Sabbath day holy. What was the last thought in your bed last night? It is really easy thing when you come out of the church, you just forget about what you heard, right? And like Monday, you don't remember what you heard, right? But do you know the Bible teaches that the preaching is the major and the chief means that God used to nurture us, nurture our soul, and teach us and grow us up? So we have to prepare the Sabbath day holy, even on Saturday, and even after we listen to the preaching, we keep thinking about the message and meditate it and chew it. And when you have family, then go to family worship and then read the scripture, what you just heard, and discuss and study. My friends, I beg you, don't waste your Sabbath day. It's okay to enjoy worldly business and entertainment on weekday. But God's design on Sabbath day is to rest in Him. Him alone, as we think about Him. Isn't it that hard just forget about our burden from the weekdays on the Lord's Day? And just thinking about heaven and God? Use Sabbath day holy, and God will bless you. And you will see that God is growing you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So far we have seen who is the blessed man. Blessed man is the man who lives by the word of God. Now, we are moving to the second point. Then maybe some of you would have a question. Then why is that man, the one who lives by the word of God, called blessed? Let's go to verse 4. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that wind drives away. Don't you feel that? Isn't it too short? Like verse 3, there was a long description of the blessed man. And verse 4, the wicked who hate God's word. That's all. That brevity shows, kind of foreshadow the destiny of the wicked man who hates God and His word. And let's go to verse 5 and 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the reason, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Here, from this verse 5 and 6, we could see why the psalmist called the man who lives by God's word blessed. The reason is very simple, because that man is righteous. And God, who has the authority to judge the righteous and the wicked, He says the man who loves His word, who takes delight from the word of God, he is righteous. But the wicked is not. Did you notice that? Until verse 4, the psalmist used the term blessed and explained it. And suddenly, verse 5 and 6, he used the term the righteous. There's a significant transition. But I want you to think about verse 6 specifically. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Here the term knows not mean that God is, you know, like looking and watching all what every works you are doing and check, oh, like this guy read the Bible, oh, this guy pray. Like, that's not what it means. Know here means a intimate knowledge. Like, for example, Adam knew Eve. Like marital relationship. It's the same word. In other words, your God has intimacy with you, especially the way you walk day by day. Then maybe some of you would say, yeah, but my devotional life is not that great. I'm not sure my faith is great enough that God would have an intimacy with me. But what we have to know, and from here, the New Testament is helpful. Because when God sees our obedience, He does not see our sinful and imperfect obedience, but He sees the obedience of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 says, the second person of Trinity, the Word became man. Jesus is the Word. He is the man of the Word of God. And by faith, we are united to Him. And by faith, we are called righteous. Not because our obedience and our faith is so great, but Jesus' righteousness is great. And Jesus' obedience is perfect. Psalm 1 ultimately points to Jesus Christ. And we are mimicking Him. And we are learning from Him. And by faith, we are walking with Him. And we're following the way He paved. Now, let's think about the rest of verse 6. But the way of the wicked will perish. Did you notice that? When the psalmist talk about the way of righteousness, he used the Lord as a subject. But here, the way of the wicked, there is no subject. He didn't say the Lord did not know the way of the wicked, or the Lord destroyed the way of the wicked. But the way of the wicked will perish. It sounds like self-destruction. Because the wicked is going to the path of death and destruction. That's why he voluntarily destroyed himself. One time, C.S. Lewis says this, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from Him because it is not there. There is no such a thing. The wicked here who hates God's word and God Himself, in their own eyes, they might think everything is okay. His way looks pure and right. But God says it is not. God says, apart from me, there's nothing but destruction and death. So this morning, I have the second question to you. So on which way are you walking? Are you walking on the way of the righteous by faith in Jesus Christ, or on the way of the wicked? To which group do you belong to? Do you belong to the congregation of the righteous or the congregation of the scoffers? This morning, if you do not know the Lord, if you are walking on the way of the wicked, I solemnly warned you, please stop going to that way. There is no hope. You are going to perish. It's not my word. I'm just quoting verse 6. But the good news is this. Salvation means you are going to be transplanted from the way of the wicked to the way of the righteous. Jesus says, as you know, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will be saved if you trust Jesus Christ and have faith in him. So through Jesus Christ, return to your God, who is life, blessing, and prosperity. Apart from him, there's nothing. And I appeal to you lastly, who are walking on the way of the righteous, but your life is really tough. Someone, this picture of the, like verse 3, I often think about the picture of spring and good weather in the garden, and the garden. But by experience, we all know our life is not always spring, right? Maybe some of you this morning are going through a long night of loneliness or anxiety because of the uncertain future. Maybe some of you go through the winter storm of health issue or relational problem. But with that hard situation, as a Christian, what makes us more difficult is our poor spiritual life. Maybe you open the Bible and try to read the word, so be encouraged. But can you get any word which encourages you? Maybe you are trying to pray and trust the Lord. But you start to thinking about that issue, and you don't pray, and just thinking about that issue. You want to be strong in the Lord like Paul. But when you see your faith, it's so miserable. And that poor obedience and spiritual life will make you think, is God punishing me? Is God disciplining me? Did I do something wrong? That's why I have this difficult situation. But my friends, don't ever think God like man. He's a holy God, and we are sinful men. His thought is not like ours. Do you know what happened when God's children are in struggle and even commit a sin? And do you know what happened when God sees it? Do you think when we fail to obey God, God is thinking, okay, so I'm waiting when this guy make more trouble and I will punish him? No. When God sees our weakness and failure, he has pity on us. He has more compassion upon us because we are in Jesus Christ. Don't ever consider God like us. He is gracious, merciful, abounding in steadfast love. And from his character and nature, we have hope. So after we're reading this psalm, if we think that, okay, so I'm the blessed, so I can grow up in God, let's go. Yeah, I like that confidence, but I encourage you, if you think like that, we need to do more fine-tuning. Because a proper response after reading this psalm is our humble confidence. I shortly talk about John 1. Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and the man of the Word. Do you know why God the Father, who has full of compassion, sent his own Son to us and to make him like us? He could have been an angel, but he became man, right? Right? The reason is God knew that we are weak. God knew that in our sin, we are going to fail. God knew that we cannot walk on the way of the righteous in our own strength. That's why he sent his own son and provide the perfect, the ideal man and ask us to believe in him. That's simple and easy. Therefore, my friends, have a humble confidence in God. God prepared everything in Jesus Christ. And we just need to walk by faith and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a good God we have. What a marvelous God that you show us your glory day by day. The more we know you, the more we read your word, you show us unfathomable grace, love, goodness, perfection. Lord, we pray. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we are sinful. We are miserable. Help us to grow well in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us to love your word. Help us to make a right priority as we read your word, pray more, and persevere by faith alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.